going on, everyone? Swim Kareem here, back with another episode as a part of our Uncut series. We dive just a little bit deeper into some aspects of the nonprofit space. We've got a good one for you today. We're going to be talking about the Met Gala. The Met Gala is in 5 days, Monday, May 6th. It's the first Monday of every May, funny enough. So perfect timing. We're going to talk about the Met Gala. A lot of people know the Met Gala for stars, famous people, dresses. It's a time for a lot of high society, so to speak, especially celebrities to kind of flaunt their stuff a little bit. But there's so much more behind it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Met Gala, about 15, 20 minutes. I think you all really appreciate it. Listen, before we dive into it, follow us on Instagram and TikTok. I'm actually doing a little bit more TikToks than normal. Still haven't done the YouTube. It's just so much to do. I'm talking with my homegirl, Jen, over at Mom Boss Marketing, the sponsors of the show. And I'm like, how do you have the time to do all of this stuff? And she's like, I don't. I'm dope. I'm busy. And so follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. I'll jump and put a couple of interviews on YouTube at some point in time. But I just got to take your time and do what you can. No need to overexert yourself. Be sure to listen to the previous episode, episode 42. I had a chance. I talked a good deal about World Central Kitchen. They were getting a lot of press. I talked about the NRA, and I talked about a nice little book by Megan Fox, speaking of celebrities. I don't think she's going to the Met Gala this year. But be sure to listen to the previous episode. Check out and keep up with what we're doing and all the episodes, our regular ones and the ones as a part of our Uncut series. Okay, so today we're talking about the Met Gala. Again, a lot of people know the Met Gala for famous people, right? When you start talking about the Rihannas, the Nicki Minajs, the Zendayas, the Katy Perrys, the Ryan Goslings, they're the ones, the Lady Gagas, that are at the Met Gala, right? And it's an opportunity. Look, we know a lot of famous people go. It's time for them to show out, be known, be famous, and all of us in society kind of look up when the Met Gallery or the Met Gala occurs. But it's not just all fashion and celebrities, and I think that's one of the most interesting aspects as I've dived deeper and deeper and deeper into the research and some aspects of the nonprofit space. I always tell people the nonprofit world is everywhere. The nonprofit world is everywhere. I was talking with another friend actually just yesterday. I was out in her house in the East Mountains of here in Albuquerque. And I was like, a lot of the things I've been doing is podcast related. And so I'm talking to her about all different aspects of the podcast. And we started talking about the Met Gala because I knew it was going to be something I was going to talk about here in the podcast. And she was surprised to hear that it's not just all celebrities and fashion. And I'm like, well, even just the name, Met Gala, Gala. Most of the time, if you hear galas, balls, those types of things, there's usually a fundraising component to it. When you're able to get a lot of people in high society, a lot of people with a lot of money and a lot of influence to come together under one roof, unless it's the Illuminati, you're getting a lot of these folks and they're doing some power broker things. And a lot of times when you hear gala, it's because it's a fundraiser. And so what we're going to do, 20 minutes, I'm going to talk about the nonprofit status circulating the Met Gala. I'm going to talk about their government connections. I'm going to talk about where that money goes when that money is raised in the Met Gala. And then I'm going to talk about some of the ramifications, not just of galas, but of fundraising events. I talked about this in a previous episode, I think it was 35, where I talk about different aspects of our nonprofits at a point where they're going to start doing less and less events. So I'm going to talk about some of the ramifications. But before I get to a little break here in about 2 minutes or so, let's start with this. Let's just get this out the way. Is the Met Gala a nonprofit? It sounds like a really simple, basic question. Is the Met Gala a nonprofit? But it's actually a lot deeper than that. And the short answer is no. The Met Gala is a fundraising event. It is a gala, and it's pretty much in its truest sense of the form. People pay tickets to attend this Met Gala. It's invite only, and it's a fundraiser. Now, one of the interesting aspects with the Met Gala that a lot of people don't know is that the Met Gala raises money specifically for a particular part of the Metropolitan Museum in New York. So whenever people hear of the Met Gala, they could kind of think, oh, it's just a time where they take over the museum, the Met Museum, and then they just kind of use it for their own gain to, you know, have fun and have a party and all of that stuff. The Metropolitan Museum of Art is actually not the benefactor of it per se, but a particular department of the Met Museum, the Costume Institute, they are the ones that receive the money from the Met Gala event. And it's very interesting because the Metropolitan Museum, they raise and get all types of money, but the Costume Institute is one that is fully self-funded. They don't get any government money or anything like that based off the research that I saw. All of the money that it takes to run the Costume Institute, you know, outside of paying the heat and the land and all that stuff, which we'll talk about here in about 10 minutes. But besides all of that, the Costume Institute has to be self-sufficient and raise their own money. And so, of course, the Met Gala is one of the biggest things that raises money for it. We'll talk a little bit about the art museum here in a little bit. Back in 2024, the Met Gala event raised $25 million. It's projected that it's projected that they will raise $25 million this year. It was last year that they raised $20 million. And I'm sure they have a lot of expenses. I'm sure it's not cheap to raise this. So we'll get into some of that here in a little bit. But first, and then we'll kind of dive into it. So stay tuned.
I live in the Southwest, and it's starting to get pretty hot around here. So I'm drinking more sparkling waters than ever. But
even with warmer weather, I still like a good cup of tea. And that's where my friends at artoftea.com come into place. They have an amazing collection of teas for all types of occasions. Birthdays, graduations. Look, Mother's Day is going to be here before we know it. You need to check them out. Go in the show notes, artoftea.com. If you follow me on Instagram or TikTok, you always see me with my nonprofit insider cup. And inside of it, it's tea from artoftea.com. So go be sure to check them out. Go to the show notes. We have a special 10% off link in the show notes. Thanks for sponsoring all the amazing things we do here at the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. All right, let's get back to the show. And we're back. A few months ago, I was listening to a sports podcast, and the host was talking about how a friend of his who's a professor at one of the universities, I cannot remember, has like a basic theory when it comes to the way humans interact with themselves that much of life is like high school. And if you really think about it, it's pretty true, right? High school for a lot of us is the moment where we really start to go into the social realm of understanding what is beauty, of understanding what is brains, of understanding how influence can be created, of really defining what's important, not necessarily for high school alone, but for much of the life, right? The hot girl in high school, she doesn't always stay as the hot girl, but she's forever known as the hot girl in high school. And we oftentimes think about, oh, wow, who was the attractive person in your high school, right? The smart kid that ends up going to, you know, Oxford or Stanford and creating a business, they end up running Fortune 500 companies, right? People can separate themselves, or we can find our own particular lanes. And if we really think about it, when we go to college, when we go to work, when we have family dynamics, life is like high school, right? Who are the attractive folks? Who are the folks that we look to? Who are the folks that we ignore? All of those things. And I know I've talked to, or I've read books where there's a lot of psychiatrists and therapists who will say that a lot of times people think that people are going to see therapists and the thing that they want to talk about with their therapist is their childhoods. But more often than not, it's high school, because it's a lot of aspects of really identifying who we are, where we feel like we fit in, and what might or might not be possible. It can be pretty, pretty wild. And one of the things with the Met Gala, it's fucking high school. And listen, who am I? We know what it is, right? The celebrities, the artists, the movers, the shakers, the beautiful people, right? The ones that are on Twitter a lot, that are constantly talking about, those are the ones that get a chance to attend the Met Gallery. And this, it's actually very interesting because the Met Gala gets a lot of the attention, but there's a lot of ramifications, a lot of things that are a part or associated with the Met Gala that have a little bit of an interesting story. And so, listen, let me share the history real fast. And one of the things, we cannot do it all. I could actually do, and I know there's some that are out there, I could do 30 minutes, 60 minutes. I could do, honestly, 3 hours on just the Met Gala as a whole. But we're looking at it through the nonprofit sphere. So look, let's go through the history a little bit. The Met Gala started initially in 1948 by a lady by the name of Eleanor Lambert. Eleanor Lambert is credited with not only founding the Met Gala, but also being one of the founding members, one of the founding pieces of MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, also in New York, a very, very popular museum around the world, of course. Everyone knows MoMA. And so that was back in 1948. And the first event, the very first event, so it stayed true all the way to today, the very first event was a fundraiser for the newly founded Costume Institute. That continues to this day, where the money that's raised through the Met Gala goes to the Costume Institute. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. So that goes on. It's continuing for about 20, 25 years. It's mainly kind of a New York thing. Surrounding New Jersey, the Connecticut's, those types of areas, like a northeastern type of thing. But it's around the 70s that it really starts to turn and get a little bit more of a global fair or flair. You got Diana Ross attending. You got Elton John showing up. Cher, young Madonna starts to make an appearance as we kind of get into the 80s. And so if anything, as you start to get more celebrities, people go, okay, the famous people are getting it. And in America, we love stars. We love famous people. So you start to get more sponsors, more interest, more and more people start to notice what the Met Gala is all about. By the 1990s, a lot of people really know and have heard of the Met Gala. Tabloid magazines, of course, are growing bigger and bigger. You're getting more stars, more celebrities. But you really get in a new wave and a new era of the Met Gala when Anna Wintour takes over in the mid-90s, a little bit of the late 90s, 95, 96. A lot of people know Anna Wintour, of course, as the chief or the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine. She's been in that role for many, many years. A major player when it comes to fashion and writing, not just in the United States or not just in New York, but across the world. She is known as a power broker when it comes to the fashion industry. Of course, a lot of people know The Devil Wears Prada. I think that was it Anne Hathaway? Great movie. It's supposed to be based off of her. So she takes over as the lead. The key person, I think there's a particular term, let me see, is it the chair? She serves as like the key chairman or chairwoman of, and I could be getting my terms wrong, but she's like, basically she's the lead for the Met Gala starting in 95-96, and she brings in a new era. She brings in a new era, and all the way up to today, many aspects of the Met Gala can be really accredited to her taking it to a whole nother global fair and whole nother global stage. Okay, so we're kind of bored up to date, right? We know celebrities are attending this thing. We know that this brings in a fair amount of money. Like I said before the break, it's projected that this event is going to bring in $25 million. $25 million. Back in 2023, $20 million was raised. And one of the things I tried to look for, I tried to see how much it costs to put on this event, because the Met Gala is really known for three things. The first is the price / the invitation. That's the first thing. In order to even get a ticket, you first have to be invited. Not many people are invited. From what I've seen, they've raised the number of people that have been invited from around 400 to 450 over the last like 10 years to closer to about 500. But over the last 10 years, you've seen anywhere from 450 to about 550 people are invited to attend. So first, it's private invitation only. Oftentimes you'll hear this time of the year where people get scammed of, hey, I'm selling tickets to the Met Gala. Do you want it? You can't even buy tickets. You have to be invited. So the first is the invitation. And then the second piece of that is the price. Back in 2014, it cost $30,000 to attend. By 2023, that price jumped to $50,000. And I just saw just a week ago that they've jumped the price up. And I tried to get more confirmation of it to $75,000 a ticket. So if you're Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, it's 75 per person. So you're talking 150,000 to attend a 1-day event. So the price has gone up. Of course, the second thing, a lot of people know it for stars and fashion, right? One of the things with the Met Gala, and I think they do a very good job of basically saying of basically putting it as us versus them. Listen, I'm okay with it. We'll talk more about this, the ramifications at the end. But it's basically us versus them. Hey, we are really famous and we have the clout, the money, the pool, and the influence. Because you're not just paying, of course, for the ticket. You got to pay for your dress and you're paying for all these things. And so it's very reminiscent of like a medieval ball where it's like, oh, the dukes and the dukes and the queens and the kings and all the famous people of the heyday of the time go to the ball in the castle, and we just kind of watch them as they go through the streets into the castle. It's kind of the same thing, right? We just watch them on TV and see what they're doing. Kind of the same deal. The third thing a lot of people know the Met Gala for is the theme. So every year they have a theme, right? It could be the theme of, this, that, or the third. I'm not even going to name them all. But this year's theme for 2024 is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. If you're not into fashion, if you were a Carhartt all day, what the fuck does that even mean? You know, who cares? But there's always a theme, there's always a host, and there's always a key sponsor. And so we have the theme for this year. This year's host, funny enough, is J-Lo, Zendaya, Chris Hemsworth, and Bad Bunny. Names that most people across America know. So they're the hosts. Every year there's a different host. You can imagine some of the hosts of years past. Tyra Banks. I'm trying to think. Beyonce was a host 1 year. Jennifer Lawrence. You know, Taylor Swift. Idris Elba. Some of those famous names. Things like that. But they always have a sponsor. And this is a very interesting one. And we'll get into right now some of the 501c3 amplifications and nonprofit amplifications. With the Met Gala, they have a sponsor every year, like a key sponsor. And I'm sure they have all types of smaller sponsors for all types of stuff. But they always have a key mark sponsor. This year's key mark sponsor, you want to guess? Fucking TikTok. Fucking TikTok. And it's just so funny because TikTok, of course, is in the news. A bill just got passed. It was thrown in, I think, with some of the Ukrainian and Israeli aid packages. Where TikTok, I think it's 9 months or 12 months? Maybe it's 10 months. I can't even remember exactly. Somewhere between 9 and 12 months to de-invest from the company, sell it off to a non-China-based organization. So it's just so funny that one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fashion-based events in the United States is sponsored by an organization that United States Congress basically said is no good. So again, nonprofits are all over and they're everywhere. Okay, but let's take a look at this here. Earlier, I mentioned that the Met Gala is a fundraiser for the Costume Institute of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So let's take a look at this here. The question of, is the Met Gala a nonprofit? Let's dive deeper into that over the next 5 minutes, because I think you all appreciate it. The short answer is yes. And so this is where the nonprofit aspects really comes into place here. With the Metropolitan Museum of Art, right? They get, I think they get like 5 million people visit this museum a year. It's considered to be one of the top 10 largest museums, not just in terms of physical space, but in terms of the collection. Look at the Metropolitan Museum in two lights. On the one half, look at it through the government side of things. And then in the other half, look at it through the nonprofit side of things. And this is interesting because New York City owns the museum building. And they are able to lease out the building to the nonprofit side of the house. We'll talk about that here in a second. The New York City, they pay parts of the utility, like the heating, the electricity. They pay parts of that. Property taxes is taken care of and a lot of those things. This is interesting. Back in 1893, New York State passed a law. The New York State passed a law maintaining that the public be admitted for up to 5 days for free and up to 2 evenings a week for free. So in theory, like the museum could in 1894 said, okay, the museum is free Monday through Friday, but you have to pay Saturday and Sunday. And then 2 weeks out of the year, or excuse me, 2 weeks, 2 days out of the week during the evenings, it would be free for the public. So they passed that law. Back, but then it was about 100 years later, a little less than 100 years later, in 1970, they changed that to where it became a pay what you wish system. And so it used to be you could go to the Met Gala and you could just show up and you say, hey, I just want to tour the museum. And they say, okay, pay what you wish, but you have to pay at least one penny. So it was like that from 1970 all the way to about 1920. You pay donation based. But starting in March 2018, only people in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey can do that. So people from those three states can go to the museum and they can pay just a penny to get in and they're totally good. But out-of-state people must pay to get in, and it's basically $30. And so there's a lot of controversy in that because if back in March of 2017 or 2015, prior to 2018, I could go to the Met Museum. I could be from Seattle, from Dallas, from Albuquerque, go in, just pay $1, and I'm good. But now, since I'm an out-of-state resident, I have to pay.
Filing, the Metropolitan
one of the most interesting filing, aspects, and this is very true for all types of museums across the world,
members of the board.
The people that pay admissions valued, or only accounts for 13% of the operating budget.
$368 billion. 87%
of the budget for the Metropolitan Museum Art comes from fundraising, it comes from all types of other aspects. Only 13% of the operating budget is actually even covered by the admissions, which is pretty crazy. So that's the that's the government side. On the nonprofit side,
this is a real
the complexity continues. On the nonprofit side, the collections themselves,
Daniel Weiss, he makes about one.
And the Metropolitan Museum Art has around 2 million pieces of art. And there's a lot of controversy that comes with that. Again, we'll talk about that in probably like last 5 minutes.
It's pretty crazy.
The collections are owned by private corporations of fellows and benefactors.
And just
roughly 950 people share the 2 million pieces of art. Now, some of the art is owned by the nonprofit themselves, the art museum themselves. But a large percentage, like I think it was like 96% of all the art is owned by private individuals or corporations. And there's a lot of tax implications behind that, stuff that's even beyond my scope. The collection of art itself is valued at $5 billion. So if you take all the art in the Met Museum, and you put it on the open market, it's valued at $5 billion from a couple of different valuation sites that I saw. Now, the organization as a whole has about $500 million in assets. So again, they own, you know, a couple pieces of art here and there and all of these things. But when thinking about all the different things that the Met Gala does, restoration, I'm sure, is up there. Different aspects of tourism, you know, the emissions, all those things. Back in 2020, it was valued at $370 million, and that number increased to 2021 to $418 $1 million, and then that number from 2022 has jumped closer to $500 million. So a lot of money is exchanged in the museum. It's in the museum space. It's one of the reasons why I say that the three big ones when it comes to the nonprofit world are medicine, art, and education. Those are three that since the beginning of time, people have donated their resources to medicine, education, and art. The CEO makes $1.5 million. I'm sure there's some incentives and he does all types of stuff. Daniel Weiss, the CEO. They have over 1,000 volunteers and 2,100 employees. So that's the nonprofit side of it. And so you're kind of getting a sense of how it all comes into play. Within the museum, the Met Museum, they have a bunch of different wings, a bunch of different institutes, and one of the ones they have is the Costume Institute. They are charged with raising their own money, where a lot of the other institutes in the Met Museum, they raise money, and then they get money from that general pool. The Costume Institute has to do their own fundraising. So in a nutshell, that's how the Met Gala comes into play. They serve as the centerpiece for, listen, I would say really doing preservation when it comes to the aspect of the way fashion and clothes play into society, play into art and all those things. A lot of us identify with what we wear. And there are many, many people that identify what they wear with art. And so I think it's very, very fair to say, hey, listen, we want a museum that cultivates that, that shares that for future generations, because fashion can be such a big piece of who we are. Now, a lot of parts of fashion have been co-opted by, you know, brands and top things. You know, you think of like punk culture, the backdrop of punk culture and what it has come to be from its humble beginnings and its expressions to, now you got Louis Vuittons and all these different, organizations and top fashion houses taking it over. It's changing. So there's a lot of controversies for it. Look, last 5 minutes here. I think there's some ramifications with the Met Gala as a whole. And one of the things right off the jump, money is always king. But in today's world, and it's actually more now than ever, influence is a growing part of the nonprofit currency. Influence is a huge part of the nonprofit currency. And it's always been that way to a degree. But it's the reason, you know, think about like McLaughlin back in the 90s doing those ads for the pets and adopt a pet and get your cat spayed and neutered, Bob Barker. Like influence has always been a part of it. But you're seeing more and more because we all have the ability to partake in that. The reason nonprofits are into social media is because they want more influence, because influence is currency, right? And it's a way for people to tap into that. You know, I might not have been in the 90s, I might not have been able to have Tyra Banks be the face of my nonprofit, but I have a person in my neighborhood or in my community, in my city that has 200,000 followers. Can I get them to kind of sign on? Can they be that local spokesperson? And influence it is very big because we all have an influence to one degree or another. I think the Met Gala is a reminder that at the top, like at the very top, galas, balls, events will never leave the nonprofit space. They'll never leave the nonprofit space. There's always going to be a part of the nonprofit world where you're going to have balls, galas, and very big fundraising, silent auctions and things like that. But I think it's a reason why many nonprofits will still do them at the very top. And when I say at the very top, I don't mean like on a national scale. Like I said, in episode 35, I talked about nonprofits and events where there are a lot of nonprofits in Atlanta, Dallas, Miami. They'll have events. They may not raise $25 million, but they may raise $3 million. And it's going to get a lot of people in that local area that want tickets, right? That want tickets. And here's my opinion on the Met Gala. Because for the most part, I've been kind of giving you some facts and giving you some stats and things like that. Here's my opinion. At its core, I'm a fan of the Met Gala. I really am. Now, am I going to watch it? No. I'm probably going to watch it a little this year because it's something that I'm talking about. I'm going to, you know, kind of get some insights and keep up with it a little more than normal. But I'm probably not going to sit there and be like, oh, I got to watch the Met Gala. If I miss it, I'd be like, eh, whatever. But if a bunch of rich people want to get together in a room, pay $75,000 for a ticket, and then in turn give that money to a nonprofit, who am I to say, you know, like, yeah, is there some bullshit to it? Is there some controversy to it? Absolutely. But at the highest level of fundraising, there will always be critics. And honestly, it should be that way. The Met Gala has been given criticism for fat phobia. They've been given criticism for not condemning fast fashion. It's been condemned in a lot of respects, it's been criticized for wasting money, wasting energy. The fact that New York City will pay the electric and the heating, and they'll pay a lot of aspects to the Met for the museum, and some of that goes towards the Met Gala. They've celebrated not ideal people. I know there was a big controversy when Karl Lagerfeld was listed as the theme for, I think it was in 2021 or 2022, I can't remember. And then there's just a lot of criticism because they uphold a lot of ideas of Western imperialism, right? The Met Museum, not the gala, but the museum, because they have a lot of course, stolen art. There's a lot of art that has been given to the museum in less than ideal ways. So there's a lot of controversy that comes with not only the museum, but the ideas of the museum. And the Met Gala is just one of the biggest things that comes with it. But for my opinion, I'm okay with it. And like I said, if rich people want to pay $75,000 and they have the money to do it. Because let's be honest, we can all sit in our couches and watch from our little 40-inch TV, or we could hear about it through friends or family or on the internet and be like, ah, those rich people. It's just a chance for rich people to show off and, you know, think they're better than us. Okay, fine. But if I had two tickets in front of me right now and said, here's two tickets, you can go. Don't even worry about the $75,000. I said, here's two tickets, you can go. Be honest, you'd go. You'd go. Because you'd want to go. You'd be like, dang, if I got the opportunity, I'm going to go. So there's so many of us that will kind of be like, boo-hoo it. But if you had tickets, you'd go. You'd have a good time. You'd smile. You'd see all celebrities and be like, dang, this is really cool to be around all these people. So that's a little insight to the Met Gala. Be sure to listen to future episodes of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. We have more things coming in the Uncut series. I said 20 minutes. This is closer to 25. Talked my ear off. But when you have some good insights from the nonprofit space and learning where that money goes, and knowing that it does go to a nonprofit organization, that might change your framework when it comes to the Met Gala. So we'll see you in a future episode. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.